Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to part two of tonight's podcast. In this part of the show, we're going to be discussing the off-field issues at Everton FC. We're going to be focusing on the recent protests, the recent national media attention about the Everton's board and some of our fans taking to the radio, taking to the skies in some cases to show their frustration at the lack of investment and other things at Everton FC. So what we've done is we've split the podcast tonight. The first part was about the football and the on-pitch matters. The second part we wanted to commit to the off-field issues, and we know people don't necessarily always want to listen to either side of those things. So what we've done is we've split it, but we're also going to talk about signings and the latest Everton rumours as well in this piece. So lads, yeah. I know you've both got views on this. I have as well. Without going on to full anti-Ken Wright mode doing tossovers, Mark. what's your thoughts on? Firstly, let's start with the plane.
Yeah.
What's your views on that?
My view was a lot of people said that it was embarrassing, but I thought it was the complete opposite of that. I thought that after 16, from my own personal point of view, after 16 years of absolute abject boardroom failure, one disaster after another, the plane is not even, it's part of a process that means we're going to bring more attention to what's really going on at Everton. And for far too long there's been nothing, people are not reporting what's really going on, it's all getting swept aside. So now I am absolutely made up that this is now coming to light. This is what we've all been, a lot of fans have seen what's gone on for far too long, nothing's got done about it now. And things are starting to get national coverage. I think the guys sort of behind the Everton board out who arranged that, I don't know, SOS were involved in that, are doing a really fantastic job in bringing this attention. And I'm just saying that from the heart. I honestly think we've waited far too long for something like this to happen, and you've got to give credit to people who are now putting their money on the line and also, are standing up for what they believe in. And I think ultimately they just want a better run Everton Football Club where challenging for trophies and challenging, attracting great players is the norm rather than the exception. I think they understand that Everton Football Club is a huge club, Bull, Dixie Dean, Latford, all them players. We're not a Norton club, we're a club of firsts. I just think high time this happened about Everton Football Club, and now, slowly but surely, people are getting to see what's going on. And that, for me, can only be a good thing.
Right, hammer down, Ben, it's your turn.
I'll just take his pedestal off him. It's a combination of a lot of things. There's nothing's gone right with this board, and nothing whatsoever. They provided a lot of stability when they took over from Johnson. I'm not saying Johnson was, but he was equally as bad, he was equally as culpable in some horrendous dealings. But these board's failings, and a lot of people would argue with me on this, but they're there for everyone to see. It's not conjecture what these groups are saying. It's fact. It's there for everybody to see. We haven't won a trophy since 1995. Me and him were wearing our Duncan Ferguson t-shirts the last time Everton won a trophy. There's been no improvement on the ground since then. The last stand that was built was the Park End, and they should have built two tiers then. They could have put corporate in that bit, but they just don't seem to capitalise on anything. Think of the players we've had over the years, like Tim Cahill, Tim Howard, Stephen Pienaar, Landon Donovan. These players are all not like massive in this country, but massive in their hometown. When Obama phoned Tim Howard to congratulate him, he should have been under an Everton shirt with the phone call. Now, that type of thing, we miss out big style. It's like, why would you pigeon yourself all into ridiculous commercial deals that offer you no escape, no leeway, no progression? You're locked in to a horrendous deal with Kitbag that you can't even buy an Everton shirt in the main city's airport. That's horrendous. And it's things like that, and it's not conjecture, it's fact. This summer's come to a head, a real big head, because we haven't strengthened on the back of a miserable season.
I think what it is, but I just add, and I'll say it calmly, it's 16 years of, you know, we can go from NTL, and we all know it, we can go right up to Everton, Goodison Place, Everton Place, which sort of never happened. You know, all these things that are supposed to have happened, haven't. Kirby for good, but nearly everything else for bad. I just think it's the drip effect. We put up with it for so long, some people don't even know that they're affected by it, you know, and now it's, I don't know what I was meant by that, but I think it's played in the subconscious for so long now. It's great that it's finally getting out into the open. I just think it's not to do with, well, it is a lack of investment and ambition in the summer. That could still be corrected in the last few weeks, but it's just 16 years of drip, non-stop failure, and not really, the club hasn't moved an inch really since they come in, and I think it's just come to a head now. I just think it's a natural progression, and fans have had enough, and fans who sort of wanted rid of Ken Wright after Kingstock, you can only imagine now what, you know, how we haven't had nothing else to get enthused about at boardroom level. There's nothing. There's just been a shambolic running of a fantastic club, and also a scandalous sort of downplaying, you know, plucky little Everton. You know, they've really done a number on, I think, a lot of fans with, you know, what, sort of Magnificent Seven DVDs and stuff like that. It's far-reaching how they celebrate mediocrity. They don't strive. There's no ambition to get better or anything. And I think, as a consequence, a lot of fans who haven't seen us win a trophy don't miss it, and it's the people who have seen us win who want more. That's, you know, when really Everton Football Club should still be, deserves a lot better than this board, and I know I've said that a million times.
Well, the playing is just one thing that's sort of come into the media spotlight, and I know there's been newspaper articles printed, there's been radio shows, and my perception of it, for someone who probably isn't as, I would say, less outspoken as you, both in terms of it, in terms of going after belief. I mean, it doesn't mean that I have any less a strong opinion on it.
No.
I don't, you know, tweet certain things every day, because, you know, I don't choose to do it or might not always have time. But I know, I completely understand that the playing isn't everyone's cup of tea.
No, I get that, yeah.
What people have to realise is the people who organise that plane are not saying, right, yous all fall under our bracket.
No.
Yous all want the board out. Yous are all in our gang.
No.
They're not doing that. They're doing it to bring the message home to the national media and the wider scale.
And you have to say it's worked, yeah.
Yeah, you have to. And, you know, last week I was fortunate enough to get on TalkSport a week ago today. And I went on there not representing any fan site, any group, anyone. No. I went on there representing myself as an Evertonian who's annoyed with the club and the fact that we do have this mentality of we're never going to kick on. We never want to better ourselves. We never seize the opportunity when we get it to better ourselves.
No.
I think the likes of, well, I'm not going to name names, but some of the people in positions at Everton FC are absolute frauds.
Yeah.
I think we're never going to go anywhere whilst we've got these people. And surely as a business and a football club, because a football club is a business, you have to remember, we should want for better. And any business who's not performing, and any business who's been set targets and objectives but don't meet them, nowadays is questioned. People lose the jobs. People are questioned. People are replaced. I'm not saying I want people to lose the jobs, but business as a thriving business as Everton should be.
Big business, Premier League.
It just isn't. We've always got this small mindedness. It comes down to the commercial activity, as you say, Ben, kickback deals, what you say about the lack of investment 16 years. There's a whole concoction of things that bring it together. But for me, you just don't get the ambition back. The supporters are leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're going down to Southampton. Yeah. You know, the ambition that they're showing and
desire also.
What's the word? Loyalty.
Loyalty.
They just don't get it back. They may have got it back on the pitch. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. But what people have to realise is these things are two separate things.
I agree. I think
the protesting is not to do with matters on the pitch.
It isn't.
The press are absolutely ridiculous. Some of the comments, I know you have been talking to people on Twitter about this. And again, without naming names, but the people in the press... And it's so naive. It's so naive to think that people have flown a plane because of results on the pitch and lack of signings just this summer.
Exactly.
Do your research at least.
I know it's frightening. These people are paid to commentate on football. You know, they seem to know very little about it, or because they can't bother looking up at it. You know, what sort of group of fans get together, put money into it because we've had a dodgy pre-season and we've drawn 2-2 against Watford? It's clearly a problem that runs deeper than that.
People say, those fans who were protesting before the game.
Yeah.
And again, I'm speaking for myself here. I'm not part of that group or what have you. And I know a lot of people disagree with certain ethics and things and certain ways of going about things. But again, people need to realise, those people protesting, I bet you that they're smiling now because we've won 3-0. It's a ridiculous statement to say though. Of course we all smile when Everton win. We're all in the same boat. Yeah. The pitch, we are. There is disparity. There is divides amongst our supporters. Absolutely. And it is worrying.
You also wonder what they're defending, Matt, because the board have said absolutely nothing all summer. There's been no leadership. There's been no direction.
To me, it's a bit like blind loyalty. Bill has dined out on being, there's no leg of blue. And fair enough, but what he needs to realise is then, he's an Evertonian, so they have people getting his back. Don't get me wrong, I've got respect for the man. He's an Evertonian like me.
Yeah.
He's in a position of power.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's doing his job sufficiently and properly these days, okay? That's my view.
Yeah.
But he needs to realise that some of his colleagues are not Evertonians.
No.
They're not in it for the right reasons.
Exactly. And Robert Earl, what is...
We could go on, couldn't we? Robert Earl.
John Woods, I can't tell you one sentence that guy has uttered. And what's he did? He sat right next to Ken Wright in the main stand. What's his ambitions for Everton Football Club?
What do those guys think? What do they think about this club that you meant to be?
Robert Earl says he's our owner. Yeah, he's saying he's our owner, and then he's got absolutely no interest in us until we get fobbed off with a Kirby type stadium, and then whatever. But he's got, how can you be on a board of directors and have no interest in the club that you're on that board?
But these points have been raised, and are facts, and people are questioning these things, but people will still support them. You know, you'll always get that with Evertonians. You're never going to get everyone to fall under the same opinion, and that's the beauty of football and being an Evertonian. But when you look at it, as you know, I've took the piss out of Stan Collymore many times over the years, but for me, I went on his show. He gives Evertonian a platform, and I have five minutes.
Yeah,
I can just about get a word in. There's a lot of other people, the likes of Joe, who's been on, who spoke really well.
Excellent.
These things are facts. In that Echo podcast as well, the facts are laid out to the local press. The local press don't do nothing about it. So now they're going to the national media. The Mirror have picked it up. Didn't the Mail pick it up? TalkSport. Sky have ran the story. BBC have ran the story.
Not Match of the Day.
Although some of them are running the story falsely in terms of saying, they're protesting over this. They need to do the research a lot more, I think.
It's brought the issue up. This has been dormant for far too long. Everyone thinks we're well run, and that, you know, we only spend 10 million a summer or whatever because we're well run. But it's not. There's no ambition at all. So you got fans getting stickers on their seats. Where's that getting replicated? Getting the hurry up to sign up to a season. Yet the board aren't interested in giving any hope for that season.
Exactly, and it might sound sad, but that sticker that was stuck on my seat in the Gladys Street is on my notice board in my house as a constant reminder. So they stick that on my seat in May to tell me to basically show ambition, show loyalty, and show £500 to pay into the club. But when am I going to start getting that back then?
Spot
yeah, on. We started well, we signed Cleverley and Delafoe, but we've just not. And And I know Roberto's not the type of manager, as Moyes wasn't, to go out and just spend freely. They spend the money like it's their own. But it's everything else that goes on behind the scenes. Why do we always have to lose a couple of players before we bring in players? Yeah. We're always trying to make up the numbers. Trying to make up the numbers. The failed ground moves, the retail business, our whole mentality as a club.
Yeah.
Goodison Park, you go back there, and as much as you love it for its traditions, it's a shit tip.
Yeah,
it is. And you go, and you're paying more money, well, not more money, but you're paying a huge amount of money to go there.
Yeah.
And pay into that club.
Yeah.
And what do you see back for?
What are you getting back?
You get nothing back for it. All you see is the prices go up in the, you know, on the concourse, that's about it. But also you think about the away fans. Nearly every set of away fans now are coming from a half-decent spanking, or maybe a spanking new stadium, you know. And we're seeing more and more clubs. Tottenham are going to be next. West Ham are going to be next. But it's nearly everyone who comes, it's going to get embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's Crystal Palace, if we can only generally look down on.
And, you know, that's it. Everton should be competing with United and City and all that for all that time. I just think you can look down on Crystal Palace for the grounds,
you might say. I've not been to Palace, but they've signed a spine of the team.
Yeah.
A new spine of the team, defender, midfielder, Johan Cabaye, Conor Wickham. And others,
25 million.
They have great support. As much as I don't like Pardew, I think he's going to do really well there.
Yeah.
And you know, and they finished above us last season, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah,
with the 10th, 11th.
And if you look at their team, it's
a
really terrific team, isn't it? That they've got, you know, some strength there.
But this is it. I know certain clubs like Leicester. Ranieri was saying the manager wants to build for the future.
Yeah,
do it steadily and slowly, and things do take time, but. Everton are one of the most, if not the longest serving top flight club in the. Yeah. So, how long's our business model? Have we got a business model? Well, are we ever going to crack the monopoly?
Exactly what needs to be asked.
As mentioned on the Collymore show, 23 years of Premier League money rolling in. We should be owning players, not loaning players. You know, we should be well off. Everton needed a massive swill to the face in the summer. And we just didn't get it, did we? You know, like I say, we just need freshening up, and for me, it's that Elston has to go first. I think he's the root cause of what goes on at Everton. Not the root cause, but he needs to go first if we're going to make any progress. He's shown to be completely inept at what he does, you know. But also the club is just so desperate now. We are that stale piece of loaf on the shelf. I know we are, you know, as regards to off the pitch, we just need to rid ourselves of this board. I don't know how we do it, but doing what we're doing now is fantastic, I think.
You mentioned all that. If you were on Twitter and you had no social media whatsoever and you bought the Liverpool Echo every day, you think, what the hell are they sending a plane up in the sky for?
Everything's rosy.
I think the Liverpool Echo would need a serious look at this, because if it was Liverpool in this position, it'd be front six pages and the back four pages.
They're looking ridiculous.
But this is the thing, though. The Echo said all that, didn't they, a couple of months ago about changing the ways and that.
The new Echo.
It's just bullshit. I don't know. O'Keefe, Prentice and that, people tweeting them and stuff, and they're very inactive on Twitter these days. And there's a reason for that. They're obviously...
They're in a position where they can't do it,
or they lose the relationships. They'll be blacklisted like certain fans. It's a very awkward situation. But to me, it's very pathetic that we've got no one to rely on apart from ourselves.
Yeah.
We've got no one to rely on to find information apart from ourselves. And then we'll go to the national media and, you know, people might say, oh, you're going to the Mirror, you're going to TalkSport. Who else? What's the other alternative? Do we print our own papers then?
I hate the Daily Mirror, but unfortunately they're a medium in terms of getting the message out there, and they have shown it. You know, I think if you're Liverpool Echo now, you've got to be hugely embarrassed about this. This is happening on your doorstep to a world famous football club, and you're not reporting any of it. For me, that says one thing, and that's maybe, you know, the club has got far too much influence in that Liverpool Echo. I'm embarrassed for them, to be honest.
If you look at the headlines,
they did us a good thing and let us sort of talk about.
There's only so much heat you can deflect, though, isn't it?
Hot fuzz when everyone going around saying there's nothing to see here. It was only an accident.
What thing that gripes me, and I've got to say this here, is on Twitter, I see a lot of it, and to be honest, I've got to admit, I haven't got the energy to get into debates on Twitter, but I see people having debates on a daily basis. Yeah. You in particular, Mark.
Fingers are hot.
The thing is, with fans who have a go at people who protest against the board, they say, well, what should we do when they go then?
Yeah.
What do we do? What's the long term vision?
So
who's your new chairman then, or who's you this? Who's that? And where's the money gonna come from? Who's gonna, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, it's naive. It's like, why are you asking your everyday supporter to come up with a business plan for a multi-million-pound business operation? Football. Yeah. All we want is to see the people in those positions fulfil their potential, fulfil the roles, and make a better club that we all pay into and support. Yeah. So how can you... someone might say, well, you can't ask for something to be changed if you don't know the plan. But it's not my job, though. I'm not a chief executive of Everton running half inch farm in me tracky, aren't I? Going on the sunbeds. I'm not, though, am I?
No, you're not.
I'm just an everyday lad, works 9 to 5, but wants a better football club. So I've got every right, if I pay into year on year, to ask why my chief exec, why my chairman, why my silent bloody partners or whoever they are, aren't doing their job, and why is a lot of things failing? Why isn't there no aspiration? Why isn't there no business model? It's been openly said in the recent months, that presentation at Goodison, there is no plan at Goodison Park.
No, but that's acceptable, because to some people, unless me, the support worker, has got an absolute buyer lined up for Everton, I can't moan about it, because there's nothing. But, you know, surely the board themselves have to become accountable to what's going on at Everton. They can't just hide it and us fans argue amongst ourselves while them hide behind the couch and wait for all this to blow over. You know, Everton, they, you know, it's down to them. If they can't move us forward, then they have to think of letting go and finding someone who can move us forward. But they've got a responsibility to Everton. But
this is what comes to, I said before about, you know, what you're tweeting that. I've never tweeted Ken Wright out or that. I try not to get into the whole, you know, rigmarole.
I think I do enough of that tweeting for all
of us. Well, there's a lot of hashtags at the moment, isn't it? It's a main topic. But ideally, Bill Ken Wright would stay at the club.
Yeah.
But I want people there who are going to run.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This club, it'd be a successful operation and not see us can just be plucky little Everton as well. Excuse me. But with certain people there, I just can't see it happening. And the fan debates and the fan protesting things, you're always going to get opposing views, but I think people need to respect each other, because for the wish, everyone wants the better Everton. On the pitch, a couple of signings away from doing quite well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might go on to have a good season, even if we don't sign on a couple of... We can't predict the future, but I think, as you say, the past 10, 15 years...
But that's not been acceptable. No. I don't want to be cruel, but that's, that's why I want this whole regime gone. I couldn't accept that they're going to stay, because there's far too much damage going on at our club for that. But I know what you're saying, but it's like, you know, people are so scared of change, they will just accept this forever. We've got to stop being afraid of change. Everyone else has done it. You know, not for good or for bad, but we can't stay in limbo like this forever.
They're worried about the future, and it's like, well, what about the past?
Well, I'm worried about the past.
Yeah, there hasn't been nothing going on for the last 15 years. So what are you worried about someone new coming in for?
As you said before, it's not conjecture. The facts are there. You know, you'll get people who are very articulate and very informative and very knowledgeable Evertonians out there. And, you know, some are against the board, some are not against the board, but we need to all come together and sort of... Our support will always be there, and I think that was evident on Saturday.
Yeah, thank you for support. The whole thing was forgotten about, and it was about the 11 guys on the pitch, and that's when you see.
And ultimately, that's what we want, but we want the best 11 guys on the pitch, and we want the best for them, and we want them achieving at the top level.
Yeah.
So everything else, that the grounds, the retail, the employees, you know what I mean? It's all built into it. People need to stop sort of taking it so personally, like, you don't represent me, I don't agree with this, what are you going to label me as? Fuck, everyone has a label. Everyone should be labelled an Evertonian.
Yes.
And we all want better for this club.
That is perfectly put. Like you say, you know, these don't represent me. Well, they're Evertonians. I can say, because I've been to meetings, they're Evertonians wanting a better Everton. Now, I don't know that, who does that doesn't represent that. That should be all of us. I'm not saying get behind the group, but these are not animals, they're not monsters in a cage waiting to the genuine concerned Evertonians who want the better for the club. So, like you say, you know, I don't want to be tired. Okay, fine. But also, there's people out there who've had enough. And I respect you know,
that.
You're nothing, but there's people out there who've had enough for a long time now. I think
it's you've got to respect like both sides, but don't get angry at someone who's angry at the club.
Because
like,
they're clearly angry
it's like
for some reason.
They're clearly angry at someone speaking, but it's not for me. Well, it's not meant to be for you. He was talking on behalf of himself.
The thing is with supporting the club, though, is it's like some people won't have a bad word said about them.
I know.
But the older I've got, I've realised that I'm defending someone who I mean nothing to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, a footballer or a chairman, I mean nothing to them.
No.
All I am is a paycheck.
Yes.
And I know that sounds quite harsh, it's hard, isn't it? So you see it and you're like, other people are like, oh, that's my Everton. I'd never have a bad word said. Oh, that third kid's great. Or even if it's shit, it's great. I'm
like
not having a bad word said about it.
Just admit that. Football club, but, you know, if you love your football club and you're blind to what's going on there, then that's like, it's like being in love with a loved one, obviously, but don't give them the monkeys out their health is. For me, you're no less of a blue if you can identify what's going on at boardroom level. And there's clearly a lot of anger out there, and it isn't for no reason. I hate that show, you're right. Unless you're 100% positive and sickly about everything that goes on at Everton, then you're not a blue. I just think it's the opposite.
I think people just need to realise that there is room for criticism, and people might say, well, if you have a negative outlook on life, then you might... Well, let's be honest, nothing's perfect. Nothing is whatever you do, and you know, supporting your team.
Yeah.
We all go through it. Look at the other 19 teams in the league, and you know, the 72 in the football league in total. It goes on. But at Everton, a lot of failings have gone on too long, and people want more. And at the end of the day, people protest because they want better, not for themselves, for Everton Football Club.
And to me, it doesn't help as you're walking up towards Goodison, you tilt your head up in the sky, and you can see Liverpool's brand new spanking ground.
Yeah,
stand being built in a summer where they spent 90 million. And you think, what are we doing? What? Where's our stand? Where's our...
Yeah, you're right, and it brings it to a head that it's happening.
I don't like comparing us with Liverpool because off the pitch, the streets...
Well,
years,
and we all get the cop-eye behaviour protest. Well, if cop-eye behaviour gets you that, then I think we should all be cop-eyes.
You can call me a cop-eye every day of the week.
If we're getting quality players coming in and the ground getting expanded... You know, then maybe we should be more carbide than we are.
I just think that
I don't mean that.
We just don't help ourselves as a club, and sometimes as a fan base, and that goes for myself as well. You know, I'm not saying, I hate the old status thing with some Evertonians as well.
Yeah,
you know, I hate all that, and I think it's wrong. It's wrong, and people might say that. We're a bit arrogant for recording this and publishing it. I'd hate to think that.
Yeah,
but I hate the old sort of sections of our fan base who sort of
side with us.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all a bit schoolyard for me.
There's no egos.
Well, Twitter's like the Everton schoolyard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's bullying him. He's picking on him. Oh, we're blocking them. They get on with them too. They get on great with him.
We'll jump onto this conversation. It's a bit like...
Yeah, exactly.
There's loads of clicks on Twitter.
Yeah, there is. But there's no ego here. There isn't. We're sitting in my kitchen for a start. But you know, there's
just three clubs, all about the club we love to bits.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, like you said, that, you know, that goal goes in against Southampton. Everyone celebrates the same way, no matter what goes on in their head about the club. So, you know, ultimately, I guess we do all want the best. It's just that others can see it won't happen.
You're not going to start booing a goal because you won't change the boardroom level, are you?
I'm fuming it's happened under Kenley that we've scored. Now, unfortunately, Bill Kenley doesn't come into my head.
I can see the steam coming from your head now.
Unfortunately, the ball don't come into my head when that ball hits the back of the net.
All I'm saying is I'm not getting into it all on Twitter because I'll end up with an head like you.
Yeah, and 150,000 tweets.
I thought you were going to say 150,000 followers then.
And also 150,000 follicles lost on the top of my head.
But there we go. Yeah. That's it.
From a personal thing, I just hope the guys continue what they're doing. We continue to raise awareness. And also with this board, you know, if the good things do come about because of it, then, you know, either them leaving or them staying and improving the club, then it's only been a good thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And ultimately, it's going to carry on. You know, There's a plane going over Goodison on Sunday, and there's an actual trend and hashtag on Twitter. What to put on?
Yeah, but, you know,
personally,
as
soft as it might sound, it should be standby Goodison exercise, Operation Goodison. Just put the piss take, but
or maybe pint a pint deal.
The thing is, the Everton's games are televised, and These protests are going to carry on. And like it or not, it's going to be in the national media, and you know, people who may not have done their job to the best standards or not being questioned in the past will begin to get questions, and ultimately it goes back to wanting a better Everton. So
yeah,
I think people need to stop being so divisive about it and actually realise, respect each other's wishes, and respect, I'm not a word that you can just bandy around, I mean, especially amongst our fans.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of it out there amongst them, and I'm not going to lose any sleep about Evertonians falling out. My main concern is Everton getting better. Absolutely. But I think people need to just see why people are doing things, or why maybe they're not doing things, and just leave each other alone to get on with it. You know.
But also when you listen to, like, yourself, he was on, you know, Talksport, and also Joe, then you know that there's no animal, you know, there's a quality behind it, that, you know, these are caring Evertonians, you just want the best.
Maybe so, yeah. And I think now it's a bit different. I think maybe years ago you've had protest groups, and I openly spoke out against some of them in the past. Maybe the way they went about things, it did cause more you know, divides than we would have liked. But I think things have changed these days, and there's more of a widespread feeling to it, and a more organised way of putting themselves across, and more, you don't agree with us, we're going to offend you or rule you out. People need to be open to it.
We'll educate you into why we think this way.
Yeah, and this is why we think this way. And if you don't read into it, then fair enough. You're no less an Evertonian as us.
Yeah.
That's what these protest groups need to realise as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
That they're no bigger Evertonian than anyone else. And I don't think they do.
No.
I think it's just because it's such a hot topic, but people are protective over the club.
And people take agendas off Twitter, off tweets all the while. There's no tone on Twitter, so it's also, but it's key to get that across, isn't it? That also, you know, that we respect everyone, even if we might not agree with them.
Yeah. So there we go. We'll draw a line under that.
Yeah.
You look like you've got a massive weight off your shoulders there, Mark.
No, it's, well, let our Ben speak now.
That's why I thought we, as an idea, don't do it as a separate podcast, because not everyone wants to listen about the bad stuff.
I agree. I agree.
The first 45 minutes was about the good stuff.
Yeah.
The on-field matters. It's just why we started the podcast, to talk about on-field matters. But
absolutely,
we're trying to cover as much as we can in the time that we do.
Yeah.
And obviously we can't do one of these weekly, so we're doing them as regular as possible. And a lot's happened in the past couple of weeks, hasn't it?
A lot has happened, absolutely. Yeah.
In terms of what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks then, lads, signings.
Very,
what do you reckon?
Very sexy rumours about Yarmolenko. I don't know how true that rumour is, or if we could pull that deal off.
I think Martinez sounded quite bullish, didn't he, in that interview? You know, he sounded like as if he knew something was going to happen with the transfers, and it sounded as if it's going to be genuine quality coming in, you know. And if that Yarmolenko, I can remember him, he destroyed us just as much as Alcaraz did in Kiev, to be honest with you. He was marvellous, that night. Great. His goal scoring record, I've Wikipedia'd it, 72 goals in 170 games.
It's from midfield.
From midfield. And he's running number 10. He's not a winger. A lot of people think he's a winger, which would be an even more amazing return. He's a number 10. And he's got a left foot that could open it in a boom side.
Is he left-footed?
I think he is. Yeah. And left-footed players always look the best.
That's what we need, though, in our team. We need left-footers as well.
I was hoping Caelan Dowell would be getting a look in as well this season. He looked stand out in the pre-season, didn't he?
But either that or Maggie Guy back on loan.
3-6 for
the He was released with Millwall.
Yeah, released him. But no, Yarmolenko...
To think he played in the cup final for us,
exactly. Absolutely.
Because Royston Drenthe couldn't sober himself up.
And keep it in his pants. He fancied, he was renting Finch Farm out for the night with a couple of birds.
I always think.
As you do.
For that game alone, I'd have just said to him, just take it out on Liverpool, or I'll deal with you after this. Take it out on them and I'll deal with you.
But Drenthe was. I think there's two bids gone in for Charlie Austin today now, and Newcastle and Tottenham. And not that I know, I'm no ITK, but it's reported Newcastle and Tottenham are interested, but I would be all over that
pitch. And we're also after that Argentine defender from River Plate.
I think that, yeah.
I think that's a goal.
It was actually been called up to the Argentinian squad today.
Yeah, I don't know how good he is.
I spoke to Sam Kelly, who does Hand of Pod on Twitter, and he said, he's useful, but he's better when he's got someone else who's better alongside him. Maybe a diss stand waiting to happen.
That is a bold world, is it? But I think I've just the players we're naming there. We need a centre half.
We do.
The priority is a centre half for me. Yeah, ideally a number 10. Yeah, ideally a striker.
Yeah.
But I think a centre half, a striker, and a number 10 in that order. And if we're being greedy,
also a left sided midfield player.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. We're not going to buy four players, Mark. Steady on. I mean, we've just had a conversation about the board. Fucking hell, who thinks we're going to go out and splash the cash?
50 million.
Doing a Davy Moyes. How many players did he sign? Kilbane, Jeffers, and. No, yeah, is it Martin?
Kilbane, Jeffers, Martin.
Kilbane, Jeffers, Martin.
James McFadden.
James McFadden.
Bring back the glory days.
It looked James, an absolute world in his debut.
If a bit, maybe Lennon will come back then last day or something.
Lennon's coming back, definitely.
He's got him, hasn't he? Didn't he get a squad number to do?
No, he didn't. I also think Lennon coming back, Delafoe can play on the left, so that solves that problem.
Delafoe can play down the middle as well.
Yeah, but he won't get there because Coney's playing fantastic. Tell you what, mate, we're going to have this league sewn up by about December. I think we'll be on the air from January till May.
I'm open, so yeah.
I think as long as we're not sat on 28 points in the middle of March, I'll be quite happy.
Well, we've got 4 points on the board at the moment, so let's see.
Can you honestly see Everton bringing in them three players?
I reckon they'll sign two.
Two?
Yeah.
The number 10.
They're either going to buy a big name striker or big name number 10.
Yeah.
Or a centre half. Yeah. So it's one or the other, you know what I mean? They'll get a centre half and one of the other.
Yeah.
Maybe I think Yarmolenko could actually play further forward.
I just think if you've seen Kone's doing well, the thing is Kone can't replace Lukaku. He can assist him and play with him. He's not a replacement for
Lukaku. Don't forget, Kone's 30 well as well.
Yeah, so and we've suffered.
He will need replacing
when Lukaku's
been on the fucking camel for the years.
We've suffered, haven't we, when Lukaku's gone off injured.
We have.
And when he's been out of the team, we don't look the same. We need a like-for-like replacement.
You know, Conor McAleen. We spoke about him before.
Conor McAleen. He hope he does well. Just got a bit of the Josie Bastards about it, hasn't he?
I don't know, we'll start at Barnsley, maybe. Barnsley up front with Conor. So I don't know.
Yeah,
he's older than Lukaku, McAleen.
Yes.
Unbelievably, because he had injuries, didn't he? Long spells, but... Yeah, I definitely think if we get a number 10,
say we got
Yarmolenko, I think that would be it for the attacking quarters, and then we get a centre half.
Yes,
because don't forget Morales can play up top as well. No problem. Yeah. And if you got De La Foe, don't say McGeady.
Well, Morales is staying, isn't he? Morales is staying. McCarthy's staying.
Yeah,
we've beat Southampton. You know, there's a bit of three good things there in the space of 10 days.
Goes up saying we have to keep John Stones. That goes.
Well, I didn't want to get into that subject.
No, I'm just saying in regards to squad strengthening.
I just mean I'm still worried about.
Yeah, I am.
Can't wait for the window to
shut. Feels like it's not going away.
That result yesterday did us no favours, really, with Stones. Teddy getting something out of it.
Yeah, I think someone tweeted there'd be a 35 million bid coming in for Stones. I think soon.
They can send Zoo the other way.
Well, I mean,
and hasn't.
People have heard it. people have heard different things, haven't they? But
yeah, I think, well, we'll just have to wait and see. That's the best thing.
There's an impending inevitability.
I think we need to meet, don't we, on deadline day and try and
This will be great.
We could do a live deadline day, you know. We could
a live deadline day,
a 12-hour podcast.
Yeah, I think it's actually my daughter's birthday that day, though. So I don't know if that will sit with the missus. Like, but
where are you off? I'm going to see Jim White arrive at Sky Sports Studio.
Go to bed, daughter. You know.
We'll put a shout out to your daughter. It'll be
great. Jim White on the case. But yeah, it could be. I think it's 7 o'clock or something on the 1st of September.
Is that one day?
The 2nd of September, I think it is. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it the 2nd?
I think it's the 2nd.
Is that the 30 on the 1st then? What
yeah, very happy days, mate. The 13-hour podcast is on. And all the year.
Oh yeah, is that one for the calendar?
Yeah? I am, yeah. It's actually the 1st of September, Tuesday, the 1st. Yeah.
It is then, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
So
hopefully that'll be it. If we can get Alan Myers back at Goodison and he can start typing busy, busy like he did when everyone was having multiple meltdowns.
So you say 3 players there in an evening.
See, it can happen quick, and you know, I'd like to think if there is reasons why it goes to the wire, isn't there? We all know that.
Yeah.
And I think agents drive up a lot of it, but
it's not been ideal.
You know what you've just said about Alan Myers, though? There's no sort of in between, is there? With, you know, going back to Everton,
yeah,
in between at the moment, there's no fan liaison,
no,
there's no local press getting involved, so it's just there's a massive gulf, isn't it?
Which I think tells you why Alan Myers lost his job in the first place.
Mm.
He was too interactive with fans. Obviously, the club didn't want
that. But fans are so, you know, they love communicating with the club, don't they? So it's almost like a waste of a job.
I think it was we were the most Twitter, whatever, Premier League team, weren't we?
Moaners.
Moaners.
But Myers loved it, so something's gone on there.
I think it tells you now that we don't ever hear off our community.
They've got them fan forums, but I mean,
we never hear
nothing. It's not really. It doesn't seem to be that constructive.
It's like walking into a shop and the shutters are down. You don't know what's going on inside.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to give a lot away. I understand Everton are not going to give a lot away, but there seems to be sort of no middle ground. But maybe there'll be.
You're right.
There'll be someone outside Finch Farm with a purple dildo on in a couple of weeks. So
well, I think
the show's reached the lowest of the lows now, haven't I? With my language.
Doing that now, haven't we? Stop the fans going outside because of all that.
At the end, I think the dildo's going to be about 15 foot. I think that's not going to be an issue. But you know, you're going to have to put a watershed announcement on this.
On this, it's already got it's got an explicit rating on iTunes, actually, Mark.
10,000 listens in nothing.
What are these chatting about here? Purple dildos in someone's kitchen. Well, no, deadline day is a massive thing these days.
It's sheer heads, isn't it? It's like a Christmas Eve football fan.
The gleam on that tie that Jim White wears is lovely. I mean, he gets overblown. He clearly is a guy that lives for deadline day.
Natalie Sawyer's not too bad neither.
No, definitely not. Let's keep it lemon.
I like her lemon dresses.
Not half. And it's better when she's announcing Lukaku in a lemon dress.
I think this has gone west, this podcast.
Yeah.
So, anyway, lads, any other business?
I think we've covered it all. Just that I think now I'm feeling really confident for the City game.
Yeah.
I think we've got a little bit of arrogance back to our play, and that's when we play at our best. I think City's a bit of a defining one. If we win that, then the beliefs, just like in 2004-05, you know, we got over the Arsenal game and started winning games.
Yeah.
The belief just might just take off.
Yeah.
Couple of key signings, and this could be a much more happier season of podcast than it was last season.
Let's hope so.
If Martinez, who got his tactics spot on, if we get that manager again and Ross kicks on again and Lukaku bangs 30 goals, we're in for a great season. If we get a few more signings, there's no reason this team can't go all the way. It can have a really good season.
I think that's what we need to realise. The core of quality is there, but we just need that little bit extra
ball.
It comes from the boardroom level down to the way we apply ourselves and just there.
We don't give ourselves too many great chances.
I agree.
Well, anyway, we'll come back after the City game,
or
maybe the Spurs game, and we'll see. We'll see where we're up to there.
Positive results. Hey, we're going to be top by then.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely.
We're in the Champions League places now, so let's hope.
Fair play. I need to get confident to get the hair back. I can't go any more negative. It'll start coming off my arms and everything.
We get some regrowth for men.
Absolutely.
Anyway, good to speak to you, lads.
Great to see you. Yeah.
draws it to a close.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for everyone for listening. By the way, don't forget soundcloud.com/ Everton Fan Focus and iTunes as well. The podcast goes straight on iTunes as soon as it's published, so get on there, download it, listen to it on the bus. Absolutely. And blank out all them screaming kids. See you later.
Take care.
Bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.